You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you're with us on the podcast for Save the Marriage. We're here to help you save your marriage by giving you information, by giving you some help that will help you plug in to how to save the marriage. Now, this is not an easy, you know, overnight cast a spell and everything works out. This is real effort, real work based on my information that's gathered from about a quarter of a century of working with couples. This is designed to help you find a plan on how to save your marriage. No matter what is in the background, no matter what has happened in the rearview mirror, there are specific things that now need to happen in order for you to move down the road. I describe those as the three steps to saving a marriage. In fact, the material that I wrote just last summer, the new book, is How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. And notice I said simple, not easy steps. They're simple because they're direct. But those three steps that we continue to go back to are to, one, connect with your spouse. Find a way of bridging that gap, because what I know is that marriages get into trouble because they're disconnected. A well-connected marriage, one that is functioning as a we, does not get into trouble. May have difficulties, but they have resources to build from. So step one is to connect with your spouse. Step two is to change yourself. You change yourself because, not because I think there is something flawed about you, that there's some problem that we can pin on you on why we're having difficulties. It's not about how do we find blame. The reason I say change yourself is because we all, I include myself in that, have limited where we have grown. My task, as I have learned in my adulthood, is to get to the place where I am a constantly learning person. That as a human being, I know that what I am doing is learning. That the process of continuing through life is to learn, not just grab information. Let me be clear about the difference for me in learning, like learning from a book, learning a subject, and learning from life. When we learn from life, we take on the struggles of life, knowing that they're building up our muscles of capacity. That the struggles of life are not the limiters to our life. The struggles of life are what teach us the skills to get better at living. The problem is, we often sidestep that. We want to kind of take it easy. We want life to come to us in nice, easy, digestible pieces. And when that happens, we stop using those muscles. It's no different than our physical body. Our emotional, psychological, spiritual body is no different than our physical body. If you don't exercise, if you avoid exerting yourself, the muscles atrophy. And then when you need them, they struggle. And if you suddenly start working out, they're sore and they don't know how to respond. But if we constantly take on new challenges, if we constantly say, life is going to teach me lessons and I've got to learn them, then we are at a different place. For me, life has difficulties so that we can gain some new skills to handle the rest of life. We have this interesting place in our culture where we just think that if things aren't going well, it's time to bail out. If things are difficult, it's just time to end that chapter. This morning, my wife and I were talking about a very tragic event that happened in our town. There was a young girl who actually made a YouTube video right before she ended her own life, and in it, she used a quote. And it's a quote I absolutely despise. Doug Stanhope said, "Life is like a movie. If you sat through more than half of it and it sucked every second so far, it probably isn't going to get great right at the end and make it all worthwhile. No one should blame you for walking out early." I hate that quote. The reason I hate that quote is because it misses out on the fact that life is not like a movie. We are constantly writing the script. And if you just want to assume that life is like a movie, at least use Jim Henson's approach that says life's like a movie. Write your own ending. Keep believing. Keep pretending. And that's a much more helpful quote. But we often live in that first one, like, you know, if something's not going well, you know, it's not going to turn around, so I might as well get out of it. We apply that to so many things in life. But what if life is not at all like a movie? Life is like a script for a movie that we're constantly writing to be played out in the next instant. And so we learn from those struggles. We have those great moments of pain and great moments of triumph when we decide to approach life that way. And so as I'm talking about how you change yourself, what I'm talking about is the fact that we all have a place to grow. Every single one of us, no matter who you look around, you know, and that's one of the things that some people have said to me is, why do you point the finger at me and say, I need to change? My response is, I point the finger at all of us and say, not just I need to change, but that's what life is about. I get to change. I have the opportunity of growing, and all life is going to give me are new challenges along the way to grow, learn, and be a better person, to rise to a higher occasion, or for me to let it knock me down. For me to let it knock me down. Not for life to knock me down, but me to let it knock me down. You may have heard that Thomas Edison quote when he was asked about all the different times he's tried some material for the filament of a light, and supposedly he'd gotten to 10,000. They said, so what does it feel like to fail 10,000 times? And he said, I haven't failed 10,000 times. I found 10,000 things that didn't work. He continues to look for the one that will. So we challenge ourselves and we work to change. That's the second step. So how do we change ourselves to grow, to rise and grow to a higher place? That's what I'm talking about in that. Change yourself. Find the places where you haven't been growing. Find the places where you need to grow into being a new person. Not how did you change yourself into what your spouse wants. That's not what I mean at all. But how do you step to a higher place in life? The third step is, how do you create a new path for your relationship? Because where your relationship has been has not worked. That's why we're here. And so we at least need to find a different way of being. And that's about being a we. And if you've read the material, that's what I'm talking about. How do you build that we and how do you lead that process? So I go through those three steps. And if that kind of rings some bells for you and you don't have it yet, you might want to grab my book. It's both available in a Kindle version and in a softback version. You can get both at Amazon, and you can find it very easily. Just go to savethemarriage.com/Kindle, and that'll take you right to the page where you can get the Kindle one or the softback. Go grab that. Okay, so the reason I bring that up is because I want to talk today a little bit about the power of the four P's. My wife says, you love this alliteration thing, don't you? And my response is, absolutely, because it helps you remember. So the three C's of those three steps are connect with your spouse, change yourself, create a new path. Connect, change, create. So the four P's that I'm talking about are the power of patience, persistence, perseverance, and ponderance. First, the power of patience. You know, a lot of times people really get anxious, and our anxiety wants us to find things and for them to get done quickly. You know, for us to get through stuff very quickly. And that's the power of patience, is stepping back and saying, you know what, this could take a bit of time. This could take a little effort. But what I've got to be is patient, because when I let my anxiety run me, I make bad decisions. A few days ago, I got an email from someone who said, what do I do now? And actually, it was a comment on my blog, and the person had listened to a podcast, and what had happened was she was having a pretty good talk with her husband, and they were having a pretty good time together, and they hadn't been together for a while, and so she was enjoying his company, and then her fear gripped her. And the next thing she did is she stepped into a relationship talk with him, and it all went downhill. What got her there? Her fear. But really what ended up behind it is, if you feel fear, that's natural. Then you got to step back and say, I got to be patient. So you create as a mantra, patience, patience. This could take a while, patience. Patience is not about standing still. Patience is about letting the process unfold. Now, my kids will tell you that there are times when I'm a bit of an impatient person, particularly if I'm in a line. And I would tell them that the reason I get impatient in lines is not because I'm having to wait, but because I'm not a big fan of inefficiency. I'm all about efficiency. And if you've noticed in my material, I try to boil it down to some basics, some efficiencies. And so if I'm standing there watching people kind of be inefficient, it does grate on my patient's nerve. Well, what I've realized is even if I'm standing in line and I can feel that impatience burning in me, it doesn't move the line along any quicker, but it makes me pretty miserable. And so what I've adopted is an ignoring of what's happening in front of me, the inefficiency in front of me. I just don't pay attention. The other day I was getting near tax time. It was time to go to the post office, and I was watching a chain of people who had no idea what they were trying to mail. And so it was getting to be, I could tell everybody around me it was a bit uncomfortable. And I went, okay, you know what? This is going to trigger my patience level. So I'm going to distract myself. And so I just pulled out a game that I have on my phone and just kind of played the game and didn't pay attention to what was going on up front. That's my way of saying I got to be patient. And one of the things I got to do is disengage that piece of me that gets frustrated. So you might find lots of ways that you do that. Let me just suggest that a chemical way of patience is not the way you want to do it. If you're using something to distract you that's chemical, that's not the way. You know, drinking, drugs, that kind of thing. But if you're doing other things like meditating, like journaling, like taking walks, then patience can pay out. And what I'm talking about here is patience that doesn't think that you're going to solve this crisis in 2 days. We have Hollywood and books to thank for the fact that there comes this great moment of change where suddenly the person realizes that they're not doing what they ought to do, and they turn around and they proclaim their love for this person. That's not real life very often. I'm sure there are cases, and I'm sure people could write in and say, oh, that happened to me. But for the most part, that's not what happens. What does happen is a slow reconnection over time when slowly the pendulum begins to swing from one end to the other. Or if you think of it as a seesaw, from where you go from all the way down on one side to slowly balancing and then flipping to the other side. Connection is that way. It slowly builds. And along the way, it can feel up and back, down and up. And all those feelings can throw us off unless we say long-term view. I'm going to be patient here. I'm going to keep watching this, and I'm going to approach this in a way that's going to let me move forward. So patience is the first P. To think not, okay, this worked a little bit, now what do I do now? Or, ooh, this isn't working as fast as I want, so I got to change the strategy. And I get a lot of letters like that, you know, one or the other. Okay, it worked a little bit, now what's the next thing? The next thing is to keep doing what's been working. Or some people say, well, that didn't work, now what? And I'll say, well, you know, what's been going on? Well, I've been trying that for 3 days. 3 days is not what we're talking about. A marriage gets into trouble over time. A marriage recovers over time. A marriage is not going to instantly turn itself around. It takes patience. The process of degrading a relationship, of disconnecting a relationship, takes time to recover. Sometimes there has to be some healing, and at least there has to be some building of the connection. You kind of, you know, having to deposit money into that account and build it up to the point where it's something you can do something with. Okay, so patience is that first P, the power of patience. The second one is tied to that, the power of persistence. See, patience is waiting. Persistence, though, is continuing to push. And those go hand in hand. You can patiently be persistent. You keep on trying to reach out. You keep on trying to reach out. You keep on trying to reach out. Now, this is not one where you overwhelm your spouse. You know, I'm going to be persistent and overwhelm them with love. This is where you slowly, persistently build the connection. You slowly, persistently add to the connection. You slowly and persistently are trying to build something bigger. And so where patience is, you know, if I'm standing in line and I'm pushing ahead, but it's not going to get me any faster, that's being impatient. If I step back, but I'm continuing to go forward, I'm persistently moving forward, that's patience and persistence. So persistence is that place where you decide that you're going to keep on working forward. This is when we often say, consult your plan, not your emotions. Because when you've created your plan of how you're going to connect, and then you allow yourself to be sidetracked by that, to be pushed off by that, you're not being persistent. And persistence is what pays off. People say, you know, how can I prove to my spouse that I've changed? And my response is always the same, by being consistently that change. And if you're not that, you're not being persistent. You're also not bringing in the third P, which is perseverance. Perseverance is that willingness to go through the struggle and go through the ups and downs and go through the difficulties in order to get to your goal. Perseverance is willing to put up with some pain. I'm not talking about physical pain like someone's abusing you, but I'm talking about the intrapsychic pain you inflict upon yourself. I'm not talking about an emotionally abusive spouse. I'm not talking about putting up with any kind of abuse. I'm talking about perseverance in your own mind. We are generally our own worst enemy. Now, just to clarify what I said, I've already said many times that my program, my system, is not to be used by people who are in abusive situations. I never designed it for that, and I never want it to be used for that. This is not a place to stay around and say, you know, I've just got to persevere through this abuse. That's not what I'm talking about. So then let's apply it to the probably 98 to 99% of the people listening, or 99.9% of the people who are listening, who fall into another place where the pain is internal. The pain that hurts is not caused by a partner abusive, maybe partner's actions. But remember what I've said many times is that people do the best they can where they are, and they're also acting in their own self-interest. And so a partner may be, for instance, involved with somebody else, or may be, for instance, suffering from some other limitation, and it creates pain upon you. The perseverance is being willing to go through the emotional and the psychological pain of that, not the emotional and psychological pain of abuse. That's when you say, you know what, I'm strong enough to take care of myself. Perseverance is when you say, I'm strong enough to go through the pain that's emotional and internal, to get to something better. It's being willing to persevere through the difficult times in order to get to a better place. So perseverance and persistence, in many ways, go hand in hand. Persistence is that willingness to keep on, keep on, keep on. Perseverance is the willing to do that at the same time you're putting up with some pain that's within you. Sometimes we get to the place where it is so painful that we just say, you know, I don't want to go through this. I've got to stop this. And I would suggest that there's the option of not stopping, but of deciding that you're going to take that time and say, I know this is going to be difficult and painful, but I will persevere one day at a time. One of the things that I really appreciate are those around me who have gone through alcoholism or drug abuse, substance abuse of some sort, and they're on the other side of working on recovery, because they bring so many life lessons to all of us. A lot of times we kind of say, oh, you know, that's just for the people who are addicted. You know, the 12-step program, you ought to do that if you're addicted. And I would suggest that the 12-step program is merely a good way of living for all of us. And one of the quick and easy statements that they make in AA is one day at a time. And I will tell you that when you're in a crisis, it might not be one day at a time. It may be 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, a day at a time, a week at a time. All of those time frames, you break it down and you say, you know, I don't know if I can keep on going through this. You can keep on going through it. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the woman who was being interviewed has done the Grand Slam of Exploration. She has summited all seven peaks on seven continents, and she's been to the North Pole and the South Pole. And so she was talking about her first time when she was at height. You know, when she was on Mount Kilimanjaro, and she was climbing, and she got to the place where it was just so difficult and so painful and so hard, and she realized that all she could do at that point was to say, I'll take one more step. I'll take one more step. I'll take one more step. And a voice inside of her was saying, you need to quit. Go back down. Leave this behind. There's no reason to do this. And the other piece of her was saying, I'll take one more step. I'll take one more step. I'll take one more step. And she took one more step, just one more step, all the way to the summit. That's perseverance. When there's a part of you that's saying, this is emotionally painful, this is difficult, and then you say, you know what, I'm going to keep on. That's when you hit perseverance. So notice that these are all interlinking. Patience is to say, I'm going to wait this out. I'm not going to allow myself to feel rushed into trying to save this, because sometimes the rush is what kills it. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to keep on moving forward, but I'm not going to allow myself to be impatient. Persistence is saying, and I'm going to keep working at it. I'm going to keep on working through those efforts. Then perseverance is saying, and I'm going to do that even when it hurts. I keep on walking forward even when it hurts, which leads us to the last P, which is about ponderance. The ponderance is when you're pondering what's going on. You're thinking, it's thoughtful. You're reflecting on the process. So taking a chance to step back and say, okay, what's going on here? Where are my emotions? What's causing my spouse to respond this way? I've said it many, many times, but anger is always an outward sign of inner hurt, of inner threat, of inner fear. And so if you're seeing anger from your spouse, it's easy to get wrapped up and respond to that emotion rather than pondering it, stepping back, reflecting on it, and going, okay, that's the hurt. What's this hurt about? And the hurt may be something that is so far back that it frustrates you that it still comes up, and yet it is still hurt. Or to ponder your own response to a situation, to sit there and go, why am I reacting this way? Why am I getting wrapped up in this? Why can't I let this go? Why can't I move to forgiveness? Pondering it during a reflective moment gives us a chance to step back and do a gut check and say, what's going on here? When we do that gut check, we suddenly arrive at a new place, a new way of being, a new way of understanding. And that gives us a new opportunity to go back through that process. Okay, ponderance. Okay, as I ponder this, I realize why I'm feeling this way. Now, back to patience, back to persistence, back to perseverance, and ponder. The four P's give you a framework for keeping on moving forward when you don't know what else to do. When you don't know what else to do, you keep doing what you've been doing. You may have to adjust a little bit. You know, if you're sending those one-way texts and your spouse says, whew, you got to back off, then you back off a little bit. If you're asking that person out on the tag-along, your spouse out or your significant other out on a tag-along, and they keep saying no, you may have to reevaluate how you're doing that and what that's feeling like. If you're finding that you're having conversations and those conversations are hitting brick walls, you might want to ponder that and think back and say, what am I doing that may be triggering that? You may arrive at the place of going, it has nothing to do with me, it's my spouse, but it's always good to be reflecting on that, doing a gut check. So those are your four P's: the power of patience, persistence, perseverance, and ponderance. I'm hoping that was helpful for you. I'm hoping that it'd give you a chance to think about what you might be able to do in order to save your marriage. And again, if you want to find that Kindle information, or actually that book information now, it's not just Kindle, it's now softback. But if you want to find How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, you can just go to savethemarriage.com/Kindle, and that'll give you some help in finding that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about just for a minute is asking for your help. If this has been helpful for you, you might be able to imagine that it would be helpful for other people. The problem is we got to get the word out. And I know it's tough for people to feel like, you know, you can share this, because then maybe people will know that you're having difficulty. So let you in on a little clue. If you say this, nobody's going to pay attention to it. Just like you probably pay little attention to those around you who are having some kind of difficulty. It might register, but that's it, because we're all so wrapped up in our own problems that we don't pay a lot of attention to the others. So there's some easy ways to share. The first thing is, if you're on the blog listening to this, if you're on Save the Marriage blog listening to this, it's real easy to share. I've got some buttons underneath for Facebook, or you can pin it on Pinterest, or share it on LinkedIn and lots of other social media places. That's great. And some of those you can do without ever letting anybody even know it's you, but some of them you're going to have to claim. The other thing is, if you're listening by iTunes or by Stitcher, please leave a review. Those reviews matter. People go and read and see what's helpful. So you can help me by leaving a review. Let me know what you think. That gives me some feedback, but it also lets some other people know what they're going to get out of this. The last thing you can do to help is if you want to tweet out something about the show, some way for people to find it, it's real easy to do. I've set up a method that you can do it just by typing in your browser, whatever you're in, your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, whatever you're doing to surf the internet. Just type in savethemarriage.com/love. That's savethemarriage.com/love. That'll give a preset tweet that you can just hit, and out it goes to everyone on your list. And they can find me. Anybody who's following you can then find me and find this podcast. The last thing I want to ask is, if you've got some topic that you think would be great for everybody to hear about, something that maybe I haven't thought about. A lot of the times I draw these topics from things I hear about. People say, hey, what about this? And I pay attention to that. Now, this is not the way of sending me all your information and asking for help. This is a way of letting me know something you'd like to hear about on the podcast. All you have to do is email me at podcast at savethemarriage.com. That's podcast at savethemarriage.com. That's an email address, podcast at savethemarriage.com, and that will let me get a little feedback from you. Those are some ways that you can really help. And the other thing is, I love dialogues and conversations. So just leave a comment in the section below, and I'd love to hear your thoughts there, and maybe the way you apply those four P's and maybe even the three C's, and we can have a conversation about that. Till next time, take care. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.